Sapphire.
Yeah.
We're doing two this week. We're doing Simeon.
Simeon, yeah.
And Levi. Because Simeon was born first. He was the second child of Leah. And Levi was the third child of Leah. And they're inseparable because when the when Jacob gave them the blessing, he bulked it together, he put the two of them together. And they were very much alike in character. They did things together, bad things together. And so it makes sense to do them both together.
Who's going to be my reader? Genesis 29 and verse 33.
While Helen's finding that, Simeon was the sapphire on the high priest's breastplate, but Levi had no stone on the breastplate. Levi had no inheritance as such. So he wasn't on the breastplate of the high priest, and he wasn't on the shoulder pads of the high priest. But Simeon was the sapphire. Genesis 29 and verse 33.
And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon.
Because the Lord heard that I was hated, and she called him Simeon, and Simeon means hearing. The Lord has heard. She was still looking to win Jacob's love, and was acknowledging that the Lord had heard her cry. Leah, if you remember, she called her first son Reuben, which means see a son, and Simeon means hearing. So we bring into play there the eye and the ear, and that is very significant. God is always talking about see me, hear me, watch me, listen to me. And if you remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, the voice of God came from heaven, didn't it? And it said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. So, my beloved Son, this is the Son of God. Listen to what he says. He is the most important person you'll ever listen to. And how many times does God say in his word that his eyes and ears are upon us? Just a couple of examples, Psalm 34 and verse 15. Psalm 34 and verse 15.
The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry.
Yeah. So we need to have great confidence. It doesn't matter how tiny and soft and quiet your voice is, God hears the smallest cry. We've got a poster at work, and it says, God hears the smallest, the faintest cry. He hears you all the time. He sees you all the time. Nothing escapes his notice. His eye is ever upon you, and his ear is always towards you. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7 talks again about God seeing and hearing. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7.
And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows.
God knows everything that's going on in your world.
Amen.
And he's made provision for that. And he's saying to you, I've seen your affliction, and I've heard your cry. And he's answering. You might not get a microwave answer, but you will get an answer at the appointed time. It will be the right answer. And if you keep listening and you keep looking, you will hear it. But if you run away, well, you might just miss. And you might have to go around the mountain again and wait and start again and listen to God. But we need to always to keep our eyes on him and our ears open to him. And here's a good way to hear his voice. I always hear his voice when I pick this one, without a doubt.
Yeah, I do.
The greatest encouragement you'll ever get is the Word of God. That's where we hear him. That's where you see what he does and you find his nature. Everything about him is revealed in the Word of God. Looking quickly at Levi, Genesis chapter 29 and verse 34. Genesis 29 and verse 34.
And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, Now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi.
Leah's third son. She never gives up. Now this time my husband will be joined to me. So she called him Levi, which means joined closely. Leah was ever hopeful of winning Jacob's love, but never succeeded. She, to see the way she named her children, you think it's all randomly done. But when you look at the type, the nature and the character of each child, God was involved in this naming process because their name certainly fitted their nature. And so there was no haphazardness about it. There was no mistake. This was God at work. And there's a little lesson here. A first son, Reuben, was called See a Son. A second son, Simeon, was, his name meant hearing. So see this son, hear this son. And Levi, the third son, was called Levi, which means joined closely. So we need to see the son, we need to hear him, and we need to be joined closely to him. That's the way that God wants us to be. That's the way we'll succeed. That's the way up. And yeah, see him, hear him, and be joined closely to him. Don't ever forget that. That's the way that you're going to walk in God's kingdom. Now we're going to look at Jacob's blessing on these two brothers. Genesis 49, verses 5 to 7. Jacob blessed all his children as he was dying, and what he said about them was prophetic. Genesis 49, verses 5 to 7.
Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly, mine honour. Be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel.
And all of that came to pass. I'm just going to have a look at it section by section and explain what happened and why Jacob said what he did. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. First of all, Simon and Levi are brethren. This is what Jacob said. They're two of a kind. Birds of a feather flock together. Everything they do together. And it's not good. They're instruments of cruelty in their habitations. They were both stubborn and self-willed in their actions. They were kindred spirits, both in character and in purpose. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. Jacob here is referring to Simeon and Levi. They were extremely vengeful against Shechem, who had abused their sister, Dinah. And there's just a couple of verses in Genesis chapter 34, verses 25 and 26. Genesis 34, verses 25 and 26.
And it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword, and came upon the city boldly, and slew all the males. And they slew Hamor and Shechem his son with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and spoiled the city, because they had devoured his sister.
Shechem had carried out a most awful attack on Levi and Simeon's sister Dinah, and so they went out to seek revenge, but they were extremely cruel in their actions. They didn't just take revenge on Shechem, they took revenge on every man in the city, and they killed them. Eventually they deceived them and then they killed them. And Jacob said that, O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honour, be thou not united. In other words, Jacob was saying, I had nothing to do with this. I don't condone what they did. It was extreme. It was evil. It was wrong. And at that point, Jacob feared for his household, because they were a small nation in a land of the enemy. He was terrified that they would be wiped out. But having said that, I don't understand why, because God had met with him years before and he'd said to him that his descendants would be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted. Mm. Now, does God make a promise or not? Mm. And when God makes you a promise, he sees way ahead all the obstacles that are involved and could deter you from that. But still God said, and he said to him a number of times, that he would bless him and make his descendants like the sand of the sea. So why Jacob, I can understand him not condoning his son's actions and standing against it and saying they were wrong. But as for fearing it, I don't understand. It seemed a little bit out of character with him, but there, that's the way it was. But on his deathbed, Jacob put the responsibility for their actions squarely on the shoulders of Simeon and Levi. He had nothing to do with it. And Jacob said, they slew a man, and in their self-will they digged down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. This literally means, in their anger they slew man, meaning men. Instead of taking revenge on one man, they took it on every man in the city. The term they dig down a wall is a strange term, and you think, what does it mean? But it actually means they have hamstrung oxen. And again, it refers, apparently, when you've hamstrung oxen, you've deliberately cut the tendons of the oxen so that it's useless. And this is exactly a picture of what they did to the men of Shechem. It was wicked, ruthless cruelty. And there's a couple of, two or three verses in Genesis 34 that describe what they were doing. And it's Genesis 34, verses 13 to 17.
And the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully, and said, because he had defiled Dinah their sister. And they said unto them, we cannot do this thing, to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised, for that were a reproach unto us. But in this we will consent unto you, if you will be as we be, that every male of you be circumcised. Then we will give our daughters unto you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. But if ye will not hearken unto us to be circumcised, then will we take our daughter, and we will be gone.
So Simeon and Levi just absolutely deceived Shechem, and they plotted against them. They got them to be circumcised, and when they were at the most tender and weakest point, then they went in and killed every man. Simeon, Jacob said of Simeon, I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. And just before the conquest of the promised land, Simeon was the smallest tribe. when all before all this happened, Simeon was 60,000 in number as a tribe. But by the time they went into the Promised Land, they'd shrunk down to 22,000. So they'd reduced quite dramatically. And looking at Levi here, Levi's mother had said his name meant, well, his name did mean joined. But Jacob, his father, said to him, he's not going to be named joined, he's going to be named scattered, because I'm going to scatter him, I'm going to leave him with no inheritance. And because he was left with no inheritance, his brothers each gave him some of their cities. And he was given several of these by each of the other tribes. And then he ended up with 48 cities in total. And it's interesting that six of these cities were cities of refuge. Well, I don't know if you know what a city of refuge is.
Yeah.
But a city of refuge is one where a man could run and be safe if he had slain his brother. Accidentally, not premeditated. If he'd done something to his brother and he'd accidentally killed him, then he could run to one of these six cities and he would be safe. And it was a place of mercy, a place of refuge. And Levi had that inheritance. What about the grace of God, eh? Levi, who showed no mercy, here is a refuge and a place of mercy for people who had committed, they'd murdered somebody, but actually not intentionally. In Levi, we see a picture of the grace of God, and it's beautiful. Because, you know, Paul said, where sin abounded, grace abounded more. And although we don't see grace in the Old Testament as we do in the New, we still see that sin had separated all mankind from God. And yet God looked for a way of restoration. And so he introduced the sacrifices and the high priest and the tabernacle and temple worship. And who he had to have someone to minister on behalf of man. And who did he put in?
Levi.
He said to Levi, you will be the high priestly tribe. You will be the priesthood for God. I just think that's lovely. The scattered tribe of Levi, the man who'd fallen deeply into sin, was lifted high in holiness. Is that not grace for every one of us? And I love that scripture that says, he that is forgiven much, loveth much. And here we can see that picture with Levi. So although Levi was scattered among the tribes, in that scattering, he didn't actually become scattered, he became joined to the rest of the tribes, all of the tribes, because he had an inheritance in each of them. And as well, he became closely joined to the whole of the nation because of his high priestly office. He was standing in the gap for every one of them. What grace, what mercy, what love God displayed towards Levi. And I think from this we need to realise nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is ever lost with God. You might think you've blown it, you've lost it. That can never be recovered. Let me tell you, nothing is ever lost in God. The minute we turn and repent, God will bring those promises to pass. And they may not come. Do you remember we had a blessing confession that we used to say when we took our offering up? And I think we need to get that out again. Because part of the blessing confession was, all the blessings that should have been mine have not been lost. They still come to me in the form of new blessings. So what you think is lost, God has a wonderful way of bringing them round as a different new blessing. But in a way, it's the fulfilment of the old, isn't it? What you think you've lost, you've got in a different way. And it's that blessing. God has, nothing's lost in God, nothing. He saves from the guttermost to the uttermost. Christ. That's my God, and I love him for all that he does for us. We none of us deserve the goodness, the mercy, the grace and the love of God. And certainly Levi and Simeon didn't, but still, God never wiped them out. He had mercy on them, even in that old covenant, and gave them a blessing. Looking at the tribe of Levi, Moses came from the tribe of Levi. And he was the most humble man on the face of the earth. Wow. The Aaronic priesthood came from the tribe of Levi, because Aaron was Moses' brother. Now, Moses gave a blessing on the tribes, as did Jacob. And these came later in the Bible anyway. Deuteronomy 33, and it's verses 8 to 11. Actually, these verses 8 to 11 refer only to Levi. And I don't know why, but Simeon was not given a blessing by Moses at all. Strange, but he's not mentioned at all by Moses. But Levi is, and this is what Moses said of Levi.
Maybe because it's his family, Levi.
Maybe because what?
It was his family. Moses is of Levi.
Yeah. But he gave a blessing to all the rest of them, the children, but not to Simeon. And yet Levi wasn't on the breastplate, you know. So God had his reasons, I'm sure.
And of Levi he said, "Let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah, who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children, for they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee and hold burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. Bless, Lord, his substance, and accept the work of his hands. Smite through the loins of them that rise against him, and of them that hate him, that they arise not again."
Moses' blessing to Levi. Your Urim and Thummim belong to the man you favoured. That's talking of Aaron, the high priest, because we haven't covered this yet, but the Urim and the Thummim were methods by which God spoke to the high priest, and these were kept in the pocket of the breastplate. And I believe that the stones used to light up, and that's how they knew what God was saying, but we'll look at that in more detail. But Moses said, "You tested Levi at Massah, and you contended with him at the waters of Meribah." What happened there? There was no water. And all the children of Israel began to complain against Moses. But at this point, Levi proved himself, because he didn't take revenge on the people who were murmuring against Moses and Aaron. And he stood by Moses and Aaron. He didn't take matters into his own hands. And so God treated it as, "I'm testing you," and God will test us. You know, when we do stuff and we say, "I'm sorry and I've got it wrong, God," and he might say, "Well, we'll run that by you again." And it might be some time later and you're not aware of what's happening, and then suddenly you realise, "I've been here before. I don't need to do this again. I need to get it right this time, because I want to move on. I want to go on with God. I don't want to keep going round this mountain. I want to grow and mature and develop so that I can take new ground for God." And that's what happened with Levi. He passed the test. And so God acknowledged that through Moses. And then the second time he passed the test, it's Moses has said, he said of his father and mother, "I have no regard for them." He didn't recognise his brothers or acknowledge his own children, but he watched over your word and guarded your covenant. If you remember, the children of Israel, when Moses went up to receive the Ten Commandments from God, when God said to him on the mountain, "You need to go down. The people have rebelled and they've built a golden calf." And Moses went down and he found that they were all worshipping the golden calf. And at that point, he commanded Levi to kill every man, his brother, his sister. Everybody was worshipping the golden calf. Levi had to kill them. He would have had to kill his own brethren. And that's why here Moses said, you had no regard for your brothers. You didn't recognize your brothers or acknowledge your own children, but you watched over the word of God and performed it. And so Levi passed the test again, because far from doing something cruel and ruthless, though it seems cruel to us, it was at the command of God this time, and he took up his sword against his brothers. And that says to me that here we see how God has to be first in every area of our lives. We can't put brothers and sisters and children and family before God. It won't work. It'll fail. God says, I have to be first. God is number one. That's his number. Jesus' number is number two. And so we go on through the numerics. But God's number is number one. And he has to be number one in our lives, for our lives. For if we want the best out of life, if you want to succeed, if you want to fulfill our purpose and our destiny that God brought us here and placed us on this earth for, then God has to be first, and our families need to take second place. And sometimes that'll put you at odds against your family, but hey, God will sort it. He has a wonderful way of bringing things round. Put him first and he'll take care of the rest. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Moses said about Levi, he teaches your precepts to Jacob and your law to Israel. He offers incense before you and whole burnt offerings on your altar. Here we see the high priestly office that Levi was brought into because of his obedience, and his position was reversed. Instead of being scattered, he was united with the people, and he was teaching them the laws of God and God's judgments. By grace, those that were scattered became joined. And I was thinking about the Apostle Paul. You know, when he was Saul, what was he doing to the Church of Jesus Christ? He was persecuting them. He was scattering the Church of Jesus Christ. And God, in his love and his mercy, appeared to him. And as a result, he had an encounter with Jesus, and he became Paul, who taught the early church, and he united the church, he brought the church together. So there was another instance of the grace of God. And it's a picture of us, isn't it? As sinners, we're separated from God, we're scattered. But immediately we accept Jesus Christ, we're saints, and we are joined with him. And we're joined with the family of God who love him. God gives a whole new family. And it's wonderful what God does. Moses said, bless Lord his substance. Bless Lord his substance and accept the work of his hands. Levi had no territory to bless. He didn't own anything. He had no fields to multiply. He had no coast to protect. So the blessing was upon his substance, and it was upon his personal possessions, and it was upon his service. And we have those same blessings, don't we? God blesses the work of our hands. He blesses our substance. He blesses our service. When we give to God, we can never outgive him. When we do for God, we can never outgive him. And he always is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And praise God, as Moses said, he asked for a complete and final deliverance for Levi from all his enemies. He's done the same for us. We are delivered from every one of our enemies. I don't care what enemy attacks, God has already delivered you. It was done at Calvary. Okay. And all you need to do now is say, hey, I don't accept this. No. This is not from God. This is not for me. I reject it. I push it away. The word of God, it is written. Mm-hmm. The greatest and most powerful weapon is the sword, the word of God. It is Written, devil, and he will flee. Resist the devil. Submit to God. Submit to this word. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Quickly look at the sapphire as a stone. The English word sapphire is taken from the Hebrew word sapphire, and it's spelled S-A-P-P-E-E-R, sapphire. It's derived from a verb meaning to scratch or polish, and it also means to cut off or divide. This stone was Simeon's stone. You remember Simeon got divided in the tribes and he got cut off. The sapphire, I didn't know, but it's the second hardest stone. I think the diamond's the hardest stone. The sapphire is the second hardest stone. It very much described Simeon. A hard, ruthless, cruel man. It was very much characteristic of him. Scratching, meaning, sapphire means scratching. Both Simeon and Levi were merciless and they were scratching, they tore to pieces a whole community in revenge. And as we know, their actions resulted in their being divided in Jacob and scattered in Israel, which harmonises with the sapphire, which means to cut off or divide. And there we have Simeon and Levi, the grace of God.
I was surprised that Levi were able to be an high priest after he killed all them
people. No.
Yeah, I thought they got to be like spotless sort of thing, but no.
From the guttermost, the uttermost.
Oh, you have to be forgiven.
Yeah, forgiveness.
Yeah.
God will restore. He's always looking for a way to restore.
And if you had to be able to kill all them, I wouldn't be able to sacrifice.
Yeah. A way to restore.
Yeah, that's
I was listening.
Good on you. Good on you, Lee. Yeah, they were ideal for the sacrificing, weren't they? Because I look at things, I couldn't kill them animals. I couldn't see blood and guts all over. But yeah, God takes... Nothing is wasted with God. No experience is wasted with God. And nothing is lost with
God. Whatever you're going through, if you trust him to bring you through it, it turns it around to good.
It does.
And that's why you've not got to dwell in the pit of what's going on around you, bad.
No.
Or negative or...
Yeah.
You know,
it's true.
Faith enough, trust in him, he'll bring it out.
He will.
What brings me through situations, really does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we're looking at Simeon got his portion, got a portion within Judah.
Yeah. Judah was the fourth child. The praise Judah means, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So he wasn't left without. An inheritance.
Oh,
there's so much, it's a big subject really.
Well, the names were important, weren't they, in the Bible? They weren't just random, they were picked for a certain...
They were, they had a purpose. And it, with all of them so far we've seen, it describes the character.
Even when they were picked while they were babies.
Yeah, even when it was all seemed
all
to be
to
Leah's flesh. But it wasn't Leah's flesh. God was at work there.
Mm.
Yeah. So, hey, you know, nothing happens by accident here. God has a plan. He uses everything and anything. God's a forgiving, loving, restoring God. And I'm so glad he is. He does not hold anything against us. Yeah. In fact, he has no record under the new covenant. He forgets it. Or chooses not to remember it. Don't hold it against you. We need to have memories that choose to forget, don't we? God's way is the best way. It keeps us happy. Praise God.
Praise God.
Well, thank you very much, folks, for listening and contributing. And
thank you.
We'll be blessed.